In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So said the apostle Thomas, Jesus having appeared to the other 10 apostles, but he was absent. It is St. Thomas Sunday, this Sunday after Pascha, the Sunday following the celebration of Christ's holy resurrection, the second Sunday of Pascha itself, an invariably anticlimactic day, following the day of all days, the King and Lord of days, a step down from the high point and from this bright week that's passed. And we are asked by the Church on this day to look straight at the doubt of Thomas and hear his famous declaration, unless I see, I will not believe. Many people today think and speak just like Thomas, and they assume that this is the only correct and quote-unquote scientific approach. But to all the doubters and to all our temptations to doubt, Christ responds with his own famous blessing. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. In the words of my professor, Father Alexander Schmemann, this means that there is and was another approach, another standard, another possibility of faith and knowledge that Christ points us to. And the doubters will say that this approach of faith is naive and not rational. It's unscientific. It's for people who are backward and not modern and enlightened. Father Schmemann calls this an attitude of great oversimplification and therefore spiritual poverty. It's the people who throw around words like scientific and unscientific who are themselves really simplistic and superficial. If it all boils down to I won't believe it till I see it, and if the human race looks upon this as the height of wisdom and reason's greatest victory, then Father says, then we are truly poor. We are truly poor, superficial, and most of all, incredibly boring. It's like I say in my class, I've never been to China. By the measure unless I see it, I don't believe it, then China doesn't exist for me, even though most everything I own was made there. So there's a certain leap of faith that there could be a China, even though I haven't seen it. If I only know what I see, touch, and measure, and analyze, then how little I really know. How little I really know. And I forsake the whole world of the human spirit, and creativity, of intuition, and the deeper knowledge that flows not from I see or I touch, but flows from I think, I imagine, and most importantly, I contemplate. I contemplate that these are windows to knowledge, as well as the empirical, as well as the knowledge of the senses. I think, I imagine, I contemplate. The knowledge of what I observe with my senses, empirical knowledge, is useful and necessary, but to reduce all human knowledge to this level is like trying to comprehend the beauty of a painting by a chemical analysis of its paint, so says Father Schmemann. Or the beauty and inspiration of music by analyzing sound waves. There are people that have to do that technically at times when recording music, but for the listener, we are moved by another knowledge, another sense of reality. What we call faith is not for us irrational, but super-rational, a second higher level of human knowledge that uses our minds and then takes us to another level of knowledge, which includes the nous, as the fathers call it, N-O-U-S, the highest organ of communication with God, the heart of the soul, beyond rationality. Father Schmemann also says, every person believes in something or someone. So the only question is, whose faith, whose vision, whose knowledge of the world corresponds more accurately and more completely to the richness and complexity of life? We have to believe in something, as Bob Dylan said. You're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. He actually said that. Elder Epiphanius of Athens, great elder of our time, said there are no atheists. There are no atheists, there are only idolaters. There are only idolaters. Everyone believes in something. Everyone has something he puts all his energy into. Everyone makes a decision to live for something or to serve someone. It can be one's own ideas, or nowadays especially one's own pleasure, especially when it involves drugs and alcohol and other things to take us to another level of stupidity. Even in the name of science. When we replace God, we usually replace him with nothing bigger or grander than ourself, our own ego, the face in the mirror. That's the new God when we put aside the actual God. We make an idol of our own mind. We make an idol of our own pleasure and satisfaction in life. People today are inclined to reject God simply because they don't like commandments. They don't like to be told. They don't like the concept of consequences of disobeying God. They don't like the concept of hell. Our very icon of the Feast of Pascha is Christ lifting Adam and Eve up out of hell. And we're all included in that representation of humanity symbolized by Adam and Eve. But people don't want to be told. It's not so much doubt. It's not so much doubt as not wanting a God who has do's and don'ts. People don't want a God who tells them this is right and that's wrong. Of course, to decide for oneself our own do's and don'ts is to be our own God, is to be our own God, to make one's own rules, and not have to answer to God alone. It is a choice to have no higher power, to have no higher power in one's life than one's own reactions and desires and opinions. But we gather here, most of us, as believers, as those who want the blessing of Christ, even as those who have not seen and yet have believed. And to us, doubt comes not as a way of life, but as a temptation to move us off our course, to weaken our resolve, to test our faith. Circumstances, trials, troubles in life can cause doubt or anger at God. Not having our prayers answered in the way we think they should. Not seeing anything redemptive in the pain and suffering of a fallen world. Someone said, in times of trial, remember in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. Remember in the darkness what God has shown you in the light, in better times, when you're in the hard times. Remember in the darkness of your Golgotha what the Lord has shown you in the bright light of Pascha. The biographer of Elder Sophroni, Father Zacharias of Essex, writes the following. And Elder Sophroni was the biographer of St. Silouan, so Father Zacharias, like a third generation voice of the Spirit. Anyway, according to Father Sophroni, he writes, godly zeal is supported supported and strengthened by two things: the goodness of the Heavenly Father and the memory of the lessons we learned when the first grace was with us. Our godly zeal is strengthened by the first grace God gave us, that baptism, and then our Heavenly Father continuing to support us and strengthen us all along the way. The Lord said to the Apostle Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Father Sophroni says that when grace is in us, it is like seeing the Lord. When grace is in us, it is like seeing the Lord. We happily follow him and do all his works because in reality, he is doing them in us. But when he withdraws, when he pulls back, and we continue in the same way as before, we are the more blessed because we follow him even though we do not see him in ourselves. Blessed indeed are they that do not see and yet continue to live by faith. And we go through cycles in the spiritual life of warmth and coolness, of fervor and of dryness. And God wants to see us stay the course. As we say many times to you in confession, that the spiritual life fathers have talked about is like a sailboat. And when you're sailing along, the wind is blowing and everything's moving smoothly, that's God's grace. Then the wind slacks off and dies down and we have to bring out the oars and we have to row to push the boat, continue on. That's when God pulls back and lets us see how much we have in us, how much willingness, how much desire, how much faithfulness, how much determination we have within to stay on the course. Father Zacharias continues, in making God's will our own, our whole life is like a service offered up to our Master. Our desire for God is therefore especially important during this second stage, when God pulls back, because this is well-pleasing to him and makes our entire life acceptable to him, particularly when we pass through difficult times, God is pleased with us. We know from the scriptures that God seeks the heart of a human being because it is his resting place of choice, the place from which his spirit would shine forth and be manifested. Finally, in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, we read, "No one has seen God any time. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath made him known." Christ has made known who God is in his own person. And in the church lectionary now, we are reading in the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John, brothers and sisters, is a good place to turn to strengthen and to reinforce our faith, especially at this time. In it are all the great declarations of our Lord. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life," and more. All these affirmations of Christ, which remind us emphatically that no one ever spoke like this man. No one ever spoke like this man. No one before or since even dared. Not even Marx or Lenin or any of those characters. No one before or since. And he could back it up. He could back it up with abundant miracles, with changed lives, with inspired apostles, and with truly the miracle of his holy church that had lasted so many centuries of trials and persecution and suffering. So let us get back to the source. The source, the Gospel of John, is a good place to begin. Be not faithless, but believing. And of his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and in him we live and move and have our being. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.